Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
That was Matt Klentak just, what was that, like 10 days ago? Something like that, when Matt Klentak was so proud of the bulk. Actually, that was this, wasn't that this week? Yeah, that was like 5 days ago. Matt Klentak, so proud of the ball club, as the Phillies, were in the midst of their series with the Nationals at the time. I'm getting all mixed up with when that quote from Matt Klentak came. But Matt Klentak, so proud of this team. So proud of this team for overcoming all that they had to overcome this year. I mean, it really was a gutty performance. You really do got to give them all the credit in the world. What a job by the Philadelphia Phillies this year to finish a 60-game season. I mean, they dealt with all these issues. It's not like, you know, other teams dealt with these issues, like the Marlins. Kyle, I'm seeing you exulting over there. Have we fixed the phone issue?
I think we have, man. Let's give it a go. I feel really good about this one.
All right. Well, that's the thing. You bring Joe Wechter in, and he's a problem.
That is exactly right.
One thing I miss about I used to do the Friday morning Borgata shows. I miss my chats with Joe on Friday mornings, which would be less chats and more Joe just berating me for things I was doing wrong. But I miss working with the morning show. I miss working with Joe every Friday morning. But Joe's a problem solver. I saw Joe in there helping out, and hopefully we fix these phone issues. So I'll get back to the Phillies in a minute here. But first, let's try Adrian one more time. Adrian, are you there?
I'm here.
Hearing any noise?
No noise.
Great,
no
yes.
Noise.
All right.
So you know, Gus had a good point. I don't think, like, you know, when they took Fultz, there's no way they went to go see this guy play. There's no way they put any time in. I mean, he's going to be the number one pick. You got to go see this guy play a couple games. You know what I mean? Then, I mean, there it go again.
All right. We'll put Adrian. Why don't I just talk to you tomorrow, Adrian?
Yeah, hey, check this out, Tom Kelly.
All right, take it easy, man. Have a good one. We'll try to get it worked out here.
Oh, we had it there.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. We'll get it worked out. We'll be all right. Obviously discussing the Eagles a lot tonight, we'll continue doing that. But I do have to get to the Phillies here. Because it was equally as disappointing what happened in Tampa Bay this weekend as what happened at the Link. As we played for you coming back from the break, Matt Klentak, and how proud he was of the team. And let's face it, I think that was Matt Klentak trying to save his job. I think Matt Klentak knows he is figuratively a dead man walking. I mean, he's got to be. As much as John Middleton is incompetent, as I feel him today to be, as much as I think John Middleton is an inept owner, I remember the feelings I had, and I have my suspicions about Middleton and my feelings that he was kind of fraudulent in, you know, his words not matching up with his actions and I just didn't really think he knew what he was doing. But all of that was confirmed for me when I watched that press conference last year. And when I heard the things that he said and the excuses that he made for the ball club, and, you know, he goes off on these weird tangents and he's justifying how good the bullpen was when the bullpen stunk and all this other stuff. It's when I really, it just reaffirmed to me that John Middleton has no clue what he's doing. But even with that, and even knowing that John Middleton doesn't know what he's doing and he's not a good owner, I still feel that he will come to his senses and understand that he's got to get rid of Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail. I mean, there's just no doubt. You cannot continue to go down the road with these two guys who have been unable to build a bullpen, have been unable to fill out this roster, have had issues in building this team for years, and have squandered this rebuild to the point where Phillies ended up, you know, not really getting anything out of it. They don't have a farm system. They don't have prospects. You know, they got a couple nice players, but most of them they just had to go out and throw money at anyway. And when this season began, this 60-game season, when it was announced that the playoffs would be expanded, I think we all were excited because we all realized the Phillies would most likely be in the playoffs. And obviously, that did not happen for several reasons. We all know about the bullpen, and we all know about, you know, the issues that this team had roster-wise throughout the course of this year. But the way it went down this final week of the season, and the way it went down this final weekend in particular, was just beyond infuriating. As the Phillies went down to Tampa Bay, I mean, I thought they were going to have to sweep. I think that's what a lot of people thought. To have a realistic chance, you have to sweep, at least win two of three. Well, it turns out the Phillies didn't need to sweep. They didn't need to win two of three. All they had to do was win one game. One game. Against a Tampa Bay team that had already won their division, a Tampa Bay team that was playing for nothing. And what the Phillies did this weekend was utterly disgraceful. They went down to Tampa Bay and they rolled over like a bunch of dogs and they died. That's what that team did. They needed one win and they rolled over. And in so many ways, that's even more, that angers me even more than what happened with the Eagles on Sunday. Yeah, the Eagles tied Cincinnati, and it feels like a loss, and it's terrible. But the Phillies had their playoff lives on the line. And they couldn't even win one game with their two best pitchers going on Saturday and Sunday. And the whole weekend was a disaster. You know, it was pretty much a microcosm the whole season. They lose the games all different ways. On Friday night, the bullpen blows it. On Saturday night, they're down, but they have an opportunity to go in front. Two guys on, down one run, nobody out. Real Muto grounds into a double play. They're not able to push a run across. They're not able to come back. They lose that game. And then on Sunday, like I said, they rolled over. They get shut out. Aaron Nola is terrible. And they end up losing, and their season is finished, even though the Giants and the Brewers tried giving them the final playoff spot. And it is a complete organizational failure. As I said, front office, they need to be gone today. I'll go home, and I'll hang out for a couple hours because I still am amped up for the show. Monday mornings, I'll listen to the morning show. I'll listen to Ray at 7. I'll listen to Doug at 8. And then after Doug, I'll usually go to bed. When I wake up, I am hoping that Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail are no longer employed by the organization. I never have to hear their annoying voices again. I never have to hear Klentak say how proud of the team he is. I don't have to hear McPhail with, if we don't, we don't. Well, you didn't again, Andy. I hope I don't have to see their faces. I hope I never have to hear their names again after Monday. I really do. And I hope John Middleton doesn't take a two-week process to fire these clowns like he did last year with Gabe Kapler. Because it is a complete organizational failure. And let's get to the manager for a second here. Because all I heard all offseason, and again, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I thought Gabe Kapler deserved to be back. I didn't. I thought Gabe Kapler deserved to be fired too. But I also thought that people, you know, just saying, oh, Joe Girardi's going to come in here and he's going to make up 8 to 10 games for this team. Just having Joe Girardi, he's a difference-making manager. He's going to lay down the law. He's going to get these guys in line. Did that look like a team over the weekend that was playing hard for its manager? Did that look like a team that gave a damn about getting in the playoffs? It looked like a team to me that was ready to go home. That looked like a team to me that said, all right, we fulfilled our 60 games. We're getting our paychecks. You know, we'll see you down in Clearwater in February. That's what it looked like to me. And what Joe Girardi said after the game on Sunday, after your team that is far more talented and has far more money invested in it than a team like the Marlins or a team like the Brewers or the Reds, some of these other teams that are in the playoffs, and you're not. And what Joe Girardi said after the game was it just left a really bad taste in my mouth. Here was the manager after the game talking about his team and the disappointing finish to this season.
We were up and down all year, right? And it was just kind of how we played. We were streaky, and we happened to finish on a bad streak instead of just an okay streak, and it was the difference in our season. And I can tell you, it's not from lack of effort. It's not from the guys not preparing to play and to win every day. There are things that we definitely have to get better at.
There are things that we need to do better. But these guys never complained. Circumstances were difficult. And they fought the whole time. And I'm really disappointed for them. Because I know what they put into it to get to this point, and we didn't get to where we wanted to, and it really hurts.
Are you kidding me? Like, seriously. Spare me the testimonial, Joe, to your team. These guys fought so hard. And it's exactly what Matt Klentak said earlier in the week. It really is. And Joe Girardi, let's call what it is. I know the bullpen stunk. Joe Girardi was terrible this year, okay? Joe Girardi is an indifference-making manager. If anything, this shows Gabe Kapler wasn't the main issue with this team. Joe Girardi did a terrible job with this team. Wasn't he supposed to be this great motivator? That's what I heard about Joe Girardi. Is that he was going to be this tremendous motivator. And he was going to really whip these guys into shape. And after that season, where you finished 28-32 in an expanded playoffs, and you don't make the postseason, you have the nerve to insult your fans by saying to your fan base who cares about this baseball team, oh, I'm so proud of these players. I'm so proud that we could play 2 games under 500 and go down the last week of the season and lay down like dogs, all of them, every single one of them. And, you know, the coaching staff, I'm not defending the previous coaching staff, but there's a massive double standard. There is. We ripped Chris Young and the Phillies pitching coaches the last couple years mercilessly. What about Brian Price, who was another guy we heard about coming in, and this guy was going to be a difference-making pitching coach. This guy was going to get the best out of Velasquez and Pivetta and Eflin. What pitcher on this roster got any better? Is there one? One guy? I mean, is there one guy on this team that is better than he was before the season? As bad as the bullpen was there one time that Joe Girardi pressed the right button? Once? No. This whole organization is just sickening. It's just sickening. And the way they finish this season, to only need one win, to only need to win one game down in Tampa Bay, and going into the final day, even to the final day, you just hoped, even though we all knew the Phillies weren't winning that game on Sunday. We all knew. And we all knew it didn't really matter what the Brewers did and what the Giants did, because the Phillies weren't going to win that game. But we still hoped. We still hoped that maybe they would shock us. Maybe they would find a way the final day of the season to turn it around. And they didn't. And by the way, Aaron Nola is massively overrated in this town. Aaron Nola, when does he ever come up big when you need him to come up big? Any big start he ever has, he lets you down. Last week, defense was bad behind him. He still gave up runs. He still lost to a guy who was 0-5 with an ERA over 7. The week before, going against the Mets, he gives up 4 runs in that game, a game he eventually lose. Sunday, gives up runs early. The team quits after that, and you lose 5-0. It's terrible. Aaron Nola, over the last 3 years, 4-9 with a 4.67 ERA in September. And that's your ace. That's the guy that we, you know, look at as the centerpiece of this rotation. It's terrible. And for as much frustration as there is about the Eagles, and I'm sure Eagles discussion will dominate the day, don't let the Phillies off the hook here. The way they finish this season, it just shows you what that team's all about. And, you know, for all the talk about Joe Girardi in the offseason and all the good he was going to do, I didn't see any of it this year. That team didn't play hard for him.
Doesn't it seem like an exact replica of like a Gabe Kapler season?
It does. Except it's worse.
Yeah, no, you're right. But this wasn't what we heard about Gabe Kapler, is that like he's like a great motivator because he used to play baseball. You know, he's been on teams before. He's been in clubhouses. He knows how to motivate guys and then September collapses.
Yeah.
Same exact thing.
And Girardi is brutal this year. I mean, I don't want to hear excuses for him. Like, we didn't make excuses for the last manager. Shouldn't make excuses for Joe Girardi. He didn't push any right buttons. The pitching coaches didn't make any of these guys any better. I mean, nobody was forcing Joe Girardi to put Brandon Workman in the ninth inning, game after game after game, when Brandon Workman gets lit up every time he comes in. You know, Connor Brogdon, who ended up looking good the last week of the season, why was he not pitching? Why was he not, you know, why was he not with the club in September when you're forcing these other guys who are getting lit up every night? And the fact Phillies aren't going to the playoffs is just almost incomprehensible with the way it was set up this year and the roster that they had. Just terrible. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. We think we have the phone issue worked out for now. We'll try to get back to the phones. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494 is how you join us. When we get back, me and Kyle will do our week 3 recap. We haven't done that yet. So we will try to do that when we return. I'm Tom Kelly, in for Big Daddy Graham, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly, in for Big Daddy Graham. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494. Obviously, just ripping the Eagles and the Phillies tonight after a terrible day in Philadelphia sports. And yeah, on top of all of it, Jimmy Butler's going to the NBA Finals with the Miami Heat. We haven't even got to that. We'll probably get much more into the basketball stuff tomorrow night when we preview the finals. Maybe the Sixers will do something with their front office like they said they were going to do. I doubt it. But we'll get to that more in the coming days as Jimmy Butler, who we all called a loser, ends up going to the finals with the Miami Heat. They beat the Celtics in Game 6 on Sunday night. Finals starting Wednesday between the Heat and Lakers. That should be a good series, so we'll be watching that. But obviously ripping the Eagles and the Phillies tonight. Phillies, lay down in Tampa Bay. They are not going to the playoffs. And in expanded playoffs, the Marlins, the Reds, the Brewers, some of the powerhouses that beat the Phillies out for the final couple playoff spots. Frustrating season there comes to an end mercifully. And the Eagles play to a rousing tie with the Cincinnati Bengals at the Link in a game that ended in just inexplicable fashion. And, you know, there will be a lot of discussion, I'm sure, on Monday about how that game ended, about Doug Peterson's decision to punt the football instead of try a 64-yard field goal, instead of sending the offense back out there. But that's not the story here. The story is what led up to that point, and the fact that Doug Peterson did not trust his quarterback enough to try to gain more yardage. Doug Peterson settled for a 59-yard field goal. That's how confident he was in Carson Wentz. He would not risk Carson Wentz making a mistake. You can't play scared of your quarterback, and that's how Doug's playing right now. He's scared of Carson Wentz. He doesn't think Carson Wentz will make the right play in the right spot. He doesn't think he'll make the smart play, and I got to say, based off the way Carson's played, it's hard to fault him. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Mike in Delaware. What's up, Mike?
Good morning, Tom.
How's it going, man?
Good. I got an Aranoa point, but okay. You're absolutely right. When it comes to Eagles, if you can't beat the Cincinnati Bengals, that's absolutely pathetic. I'm sorry. What a disgrace that was. You can't beat the Bengals? Really?
They're terrible, Mike. And horrible. Cincinnati's defense, that's a defense that gave up 35 to Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. And let's face it, for most of the day, the Eagles had trouble moving the ball. They really did.
Yeah, it was an absolute embarrassment. I'm sorry. Like, you can't walk away at home, no less. I get there's no fans there. But, like, that was an absolute embarrassment today. But, I agree. When it comes to Aranoa, I talked to Mike. He is not an ace. He's a real solid number two, and that's all he is.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, I'm not even sure he's a number two. Like, I'm really not. I think he's a two or three, but he's certainly not an ace. He's certainly not Zach Wheeler. I mean, Zach Wheeler was by far the best starter on this team this year. And, I mean, I don't know about you, but I had no confidence that Aranoa was going to come out Sunday and throw a shutdown game. I really didn't.
I agree with you. If the Phillies, let's say they did make the playoffs, I would go with Wheeler first in the first game. But unfortunately, we're not going to see that. But I would go with he's our number one. I would consider him an ace, to be honest with you. But Aranoa is not he's not an ace.
Sorry. No, Mike. I have a question for you as a big Phillies fan. What did you think of the job Joe Girardi did in year one here?
Analytics again. I thought he would coach more from the heart, and unfortunately, he didn't. I thought he would be more by the gut, you know, unlike Kapler, but he managed with all this analytic stuff. Like, I'm getting sick and tired of it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I got you, Mike, and appreciate the call, man. Thanks. And, yeah, and I said it when I was on last night after the game on Saturday. Think of that game on Saturday. And, I mean, ultimately, that's a game that keeps the Phillies out of the playoffs. If they had just won one game of that series, they'd have made it. And if Gabe Kapler was managing that game Saturday night, he'd have gotten crushed because the Phillies got beat multiple times by overshifting, by playing the numbers, so to speak. And for that reason, Tampa ended up getting big hits that they otherwise wouldn't have gotten because the Phillies were overshifting and doing things defensively that were abnormal. And it is a double standard. It certainly is. If that's Gabe Kapler managing that game, he's getting crushed. Joe Girardi's not getting crushed. And the positioning of the defenders in that game led to Zach Wheeler giving up some runs. That's just the truth. There was one ball hit the shortstop, which is, I mean, it's where Didi Gregorius would typically be playing, but instead he shifted over by second base. That allows a run to score. Another play. Kingery, I think, is over behind second base. Ball's hit right to where the second baseman would be playing. If that's a different manager, he's getting ripped. And Joe Girardi made a lot of decisions this year that did not work out. They just didn't. And for a guy who's supposed to be a difference-making manager in a positive way, I didn't see it in year one. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Justin in Thorndale. What's up, Justin?
What's going on, brother?
How's it going, man?
Pretty good. I'm just I'm confused at how bad everything is. I mean, we have one bright spot in a 20-year-old goaltender on the Flyers. We have three max players on the Sixers and still can't find a coach. We have a $30 million quarterback who can't beat the Cincinnati Bengals. We have a Phillies team that just, I mean, gave up everything. How does I don't understand where we're at and how we got here. The level of talent, it's inexcusable, man. I don't get it.
Justin, it really is remarkable that since sports came back on July 24th, whatever it was, things couldn't have gone more. Like, what has gone right? Like, one thing that has gone reasonably well in the last couple months. It's amazing how everything has gone as bad as humanly possible.
And I agree with you 100%. If it's Gabe Kapler or any other manager right now with this Phillies team, they're getting lit. That lineup, how do you even take into account the all-time worst bullpen? Having Zach Wheeler be your ace, because he is, I don't care about what anybody wants to say about Aaron Nola, he is at best the number two. But that lineup you put together of Harper, Real, Muto, Gregorius, how do you not get any more production out of that team? I don't understand.
No, it's crazy. And you know, all three games this weekend, they lost in all different ways, but all very frustrating ways. I mean, Friday night was the bullpen. Saturday was bad managing by Girardi and the offense not being able to come up with big hits. And then Sunday, you know, Nola had a bad performance and the Phillies offense didn't do anything. It was three very different losses, but all equally enraging.
And then real quick about the Eagles, too. I mean, I don't know how many more horrendous performances by this defense we need to see before anybody in that front office starts to value the linebacker position. They are so porous at the linebacker position. They count on that front line to stop the run. And you've got Fletcher Cox and Malik Jackson and Javon Hargrave. You've got good guys on the line. But you can't win without a linebacker. I mean, the fact that Nate Gary is our best linebacker is embarrassing. And that front office has, I mean, I don't understand how they look in the mirror about building this team and feel good about it. You have zero depth anywhere past the defensive line. Darius Slay's been what we thought he would be, but you have no linebackers. And you allow, not only do you can you not score on Cincinnati's terrible defense, you allow them to put up 23 and keep themselves in the game because you have no difference makers on the defensive side of the ball right now.
Yeah, Justin, I mean, I will say Slay has been pretty good so far. I mean, he's done a good job on A.J. Green, and he did a good job on McLaurin week one. But what's really concerning is they don't take the football away at all.
No doubt.
And, you know, this is a turnover league. It's about taking the ball away and not giving it away yourself. And the fact that this defense can't generate any turnovers with the amount of money that they're putting into the defense, especially the defensive line, it's just not acceptable. It's really
it's
not.
It's absolutely incredibly terrible. It is an atrocity that Philadelphia sports is right now, brother. I appreciate you taking my call.
No, thanks, Justin. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's. I mean, they haven't forced a turnover all year, right, Kyle? I don't believe they have.
No, well, not. Cup lost the fumble against the Rams, but I don't know if you count that. I mean,
no,
that's special teams.
Yeah, I think that's a special teams. So. Yeah, no, it's amazing. It's amazing that this team just cannot force turnovers. And if you're not forcing turnovers, you're not going to win many games in this league. You might tie some.
Yeah, no, I think they've probably knocked a few balls loose, but they've never obviously landed on it, picked it up, turned the ball over.
Yeah, I mean, I will say the defensive line, they did hit Burrow a lot.
We knew they were going to. The Bengals' offensive line is terrible.
Yeah.
It definitely didn't make me feel any better.
By the way, I really like Joe Burrow. That kid is tough.
He doesn't lose his cool either. He took some nasty shots in the beginning of that game. And, you know, the one where he kind of looked like he got the wind knocked out of him a little bit, but he got right back out there, and the kid can deal, man. I like him a lot.
Yeah, no, he's a hell of a player, and I was impressed by what I saw. Let's go to Linda and Balakimwa. What's up, Linda?
Hello, sweetheart. I called to rip myself and apologize to my WIP family.
Oh, well, why is that,
you know, the other night, Rob Ellis was on. Uh-huh. And, of course, I love you guys. And I mentioned you, too. And I said I had to turn the station off for 2 days because all I got was negativity. And in my life, I try to stay positive under my circumstances. But I have to apologize to TV Mike and Seth Philly, who's my favorite caller. I ripped him because it was too negative. And you know what? I agree with you all. The fish stinks from the head down. They all got a clean pass. I'm very, very upset with Joe Girardi, baby. I thought he was going, because I really liked what he did with the Yankees. And he used to be aggressive. And now I knew how he used his bullpen, darling. And I looked at Carson Wentz and I said, oh, my God. What happened? What happened with Eric Tommy? What happened?
Linda, the Wentz thing, I've never seen anything like it. I really haven't. I've never seen anything like a player who just in a couple years, and really you can look at back to last December, he played so well. He looks totally lost. I don't know what it is. I don't know how he's gone this far backward. But right now, he is killing this team, and I don't know how you fix him. I really don't.
I don't know either, baby, but you know, maybe all those people they brought in, maybe that's too many people in your head, for God's sake. You know, that drives you out of your mind. That's okay in the Marine Corps when you have 50 people yelling at you, but geez, you know, maybe I don't know. He can't have turned into a doofus this soon, could he? I mean, geez and crackers and the Phillies, first of all, and I still stick. I don't want Realmuto back. I don't want him back.
You know what, Linda? I am with you on that. And I know it's an unpopular opinion, but the more I think about it, you're talking about a catcher who at the start of next season will be 30 years old, has dealt with injury issues already, is going to command massive money. I don't think it would be a smart move. I really don't. I think it's the better long-term decision to let him go and address some of the other issues on the team, maybe bring back Didi at a lower number and address the pitching staff.
I want Didi. I love Didi. I said that before the year. He, you know, Realmuto, honey, was hurt last year, too.
Yeah.
I don't want him. I don't.
No, a 30-year-old catcher with injury issues, Linda, you know, that's just asking for trouble. It is.
I know. The Sixers make me sick. I just hope for we deserve, not me particularly, but the fans in this city, they deserve better, as loyal and passionate as they are. And, again, I'm sorry, everybody. I didn't mean to be such a creep the other night. I agree with all of you. And, geez, I was so down, I turned the game off today.
Yeah. Well,
I'll see you, sweetheart.
All right, Linda. Thank you for the call. Take it easy. Yeah, it's – no, we don't deserve it. And that, like – and I understand that teams are going to go through bad times and there are going to be disappointments, but we don't deserve this. We don't deserve what we've seen over the last 2 months. The disgraceful effort the Sixers put out in the bubble, the Phillies not able to make this playoffs that's tailor-made just to get a team like them in, and the Eagles to play the way they've... We don't deserve this. Philadelphia's the laughingstock of the sports world right now. You know, and like I said earlier, we got to own that right now because there's not much you can really do about it.
Yeah, I mean, we have to rapidly get to the acceptance phase or we're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah, no, it's bad. But when we get back, we'll try to lighten it up a little bit. Me and Kyle still haven't gotten to our week three recap. We had some technical issues we were trying to work through when we normally would do our week three recap. So we'll do our week three recap next segment. And one thing may bring a smile to your face on this Monday morning. Not much. But there is one thing that me and Kyle took delight in this last year, hearing from this man after certain results on an NFL Sunday, and he returned on Sunday evening, cowboy hat and all. So we will we'll try to bring a smile to your face when we do the week three recap. That's coming up next. Also, see you there, Anthony. We'll get to you as well. I'm Tom Kelly in for Big Daddy Graham, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly in for Big Daddy Graham on a sad Monday morning. Philly season's over. Eagles 0-2-1. They get the... It is just... We talked about it earlier. It's just so, like, upsetting to have that tie on your record.
You have to look at that little one the whole time.
It's worse than a loss.
It is.
It really is.
Yeah, because the loss is just another loss.
Right. I'd prefer the Eagles, even though maybe we'll say it, you know, later in the year that, you know, thank goodness the Eagles tied that game, because that actually did help them in 08 last time they tied the Bengals.
It did, yeah. But something tells me that 08 team that went to the NFC Championship game is maybe just slightly better than the one that we've been watching this season.
Had a better quarterback.
Yeah,
no doubt about that.
That is for sure.
And
a younger, healthier Deshaun.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. That was Deshaun's rookie year.
Yes,
actually.
It was.
Deshaun Jackson's hurt again. Shocking. And it was funny to see the same receivers that ended last season, Deontay Burnett and Greg Ward. I don't know why. Just play Greg Ward more. Like, he's actually good.
No, he's a beast. Yeah, he gets open. He fights. He actually looks like he wants to be out there. I love Greg Ward.
And J.J. Arcega-Whiteside still can't get on the field. How about that?
If that's not an indictment.
He's terrible.
Yeah.
He's terrible. And then DK Metcalf. We'll get to DK Metcalf in a minute as we're doing the Week 3 recap now. We'll start in New York. And, man, it is a shame that we didn't get to have a full discussion with Adrian tonight because his Giants got a whooping laid on him by Nick Mullins. And the Niners, Nick Mullins getting the start at quarterback in place of the injured Jimmy G. I guess Jimmy G should be back next Sunday night for Eagles-Niners.
Yeah, not sure that really matters. The Niners are, I mean, this week they showed off their depth big time. And this is the second week in a row they had to go to the Meadowlands, which apparently they didn't really enjoy because of the field there, but it didn't really seem to bother them.
No.
Beating them 36-9.
Yeah, 36-9, the Niners the final. Nick Mullins goes for 343 through the air and one touchdown. Obviously, Saquon Barkley out for the year. Giants might end up getting the number one pick. They might be the worst team in football.
Yeah, and
I wonder if they bail on Danny Dimes if that's the case.
Ooh, good question. Yeah, I guess it all depends on how much Joe Judge is into him.
Yeah. Niners now 2-1. Giants 0-3. In Indianapolis, speaking of bad New York football teams, the Jets taking on the Colts. Colts 36-7 in this one. Really not much Phillip Rivers had to do. He only threw the ball 21 times as the Colts lay the smack down on the Jets 36-7. What do you think, Kyle? Adam Gase fired today?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I was thinking the countdown on it. The leash has to be extremely, extremely short on Adam Gase. I saw Orlovsky tweet after the game, my 0-16 would beat this Jets team 16 times.
Yeah, they're bad.
I think they would.
They're really bad.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what else is concerning about that when you look at the Jets and their roster. You know who their general manager is?
Oh, Joe Douglas.
Joe Douglas.
Yeah, mastermind.
Who, you know, we talked about so glowingly here, but when you see what Joe Douglas did here, what he's doing with the Jets, maybe Joe Douglas wasn't all that great.
No. So somebody has got to save Sam Darnold from that organization.
Sam Darnold looks terrible.
Looks terrible. You know, I think he would. I wouldn't, you know, I think he should be better. I think it's Adam Gase's fault. I really do.
Possibly.
Yeah.
We go to Atlanta, and this was an interesting one. Yes, the Falcons blew another lead, I will say this. This does at least make me somewhat happy. We think it's bad being Eagles fans right now, being Philadelphia fans. How must you feel to be an Atlanta Falcons fan or an Atlanta fan? I mean, the Braves won 14 straight divisions and won one World Series.
That is true. Yeah.
The Falcons blew a 28-3 Super Bowl lead. They blow huge leads every week. They had a 26-10 lead in this one. But what was interesting, very short leash, as at 2-0, down 10 points, Mitch Trubisky gets pulled for the game. Enter Nick Foles. And Nick Foles does what Nick Foles does, leading the Bears back to victory. I think it's safe to say Nick Foles is the new starting quarterback in Chicago.
Well, not according to Matt Nagy. He won't commit to the quarterback.
Are you serious?
That's what he said,
yeah. Oh, my God. Well, yeah, he's the new starting quarterback.
So Foles has, I guess, what, 3 touchdowns in 4 minutes? And Wentz has, what, 3 this season?
Yeah, I mean.
Tough one.
We'll get back. You know, tomorrow night I'll get more into the Foles-Wentz stuff. Because we thought we were past it. We're not.
No.
And, I mean, maybe the Eagles should have kept Foles. Who knows? I mean, it's looking, it's more of a conversation now.
Yeah. Well, I wish I could be here with you tomorrow because I have some pretty strong feelings.
You have some takes?
That. Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe we'll get some of them from you.
I'll call
at
in.
Some point. Yeah, you should. Yeah. But the Bears beat the Falcons 30-26. They're now 3-0. Falcons 0-3. Dan Quinn, he's another one. Is he going to get fired today? He probably should, but. Arthur Blank might just hold on to him forever. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think if there was a time for him to get fired, it was after that abysmal loss to Dallas last week.
Yeah.
I don't know, was this one worse, though? I don't know.
I mean, but Nick Foles back in the mix, and he is a starting quarterback once again. Bears get the win there. We go to Buffalo. What happened in this game? Because I was watching the Eagles.
Yeah.
The Bills were up 28-3. And then I saw the score flash on the bottom. They were down 32-28, but they won 35-32 on some kind of controversial call. Do you know exactly what happened?
I don't know what the call was. All I gathered from Twitter reactions is that Josh Allen is just a wild ride. And apparently he was just seriously up and down, which I can totally, like, I can picture everything about a Josh Allen performance like that. So that's what I'm going to go with happened. And then apparently he came through in the end.
Josh Allen is one of the most entertaining players.
He is. I love watching Josh Allen.
I don't know if he's really good or really bad. Like, I don't.
It's all.
I mean, it changes series to series.
It's like a beautiful mess. I don't even know how to describe it.
It is crazy. But the Bills win 35-32. Rams 2-1. Bills 3-0. In Cleveland, the Browns beat the Washington football team 34-20. Browns now 2-1. Washington 1-2, that lone win coming over the Eagles back in week one. Kyle, do you know much about this game? I'm not going to lie, I didn't see much of this.
Yeah, you know what? This one is probably the least interesting game of the week. All I know is that, well, we already know that Washington would beat us. The Browns would kill us.
Yeah.
And they probably will.
I mean, I think Baker Mayfield stinks, but whatever. It looks like they ran the ball well. Nick Chubb over 100 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns. So Cleveland is now 2-1.
Oh, wow. Chase Young went down.
Oh, he did.
That's something I did hear. Yeah, I'm not sure of the severity, but he did go down.
That's not good. In Minnesota, this is a game I really thought the Vikings were going to win just because, you know, flow of the NFL season.
Tennessee's fake good anyway.
Yeah, Tennessee. I mean, I don't believe in Ryan Tannehill. Whatever. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. I doubt it. But Tennessee comes from behind to beat the Vikings 31-30. Felt like Tennessee was trailing this game the entire way. But they end up pulling it out in the end. They are 3-0. Vikings 0-3. Any more nuggets from Mike Zimmer? Nuggets of wisdom after the game, like last week, like we can't start winning until we stop losing.
I don't know. I think he's all out of those. But how about Justin Jefferson?
Yeah, he had a big day.
His stat line,
175 yards.
Oh,
yeah, it might have been nice to, you know, take him.
Well, you know what? I don't think I'm quite there yet because I do think Rager can play. This isn't necessarily like Metcalf, Arthega, Whiteside level just yet. I mean, Justin Jefferson's going to have some good games. If he's a good player, he's going to have some good games. I know Rager's hurt, but I'm not quite burying the guy yet.
Yeah. Next up, we go to Foxborough. The Patriots beat the Raiders 36-20. It wasn't even this close. Both teams now 2-1, and Belichick did it again. He did it again. I mean, the Patriots had the best signing of the offseason. They got Cam Newton for nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
No, you're right. I didn't even think about it. That is the best signing of the offseason.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, he looks great. He looks like Cam Newton from the Super Bowl year.
Yeah. I know Cam's playing pretty well. Part of me thinks that they would probably still look pretty good with Stidham at QB. There's just something about Josh McDaniels in that offense.
Yeah, but I have always been a Cam guy. I've always thought Cam Newton's been underrated his entire career.
Yeah. Well, he had a few like kind of rough seasons, but he's been dealing with some injuries and stuff like that. And the guy definitely just needed a change of scenery, I think.
But even in those rough years, they seem to be in the playoffs every year for the most part.
Yeah. No, I guess you're not wrong about that.
Yeah, but Patriots do it. They win 36-20, and they look like they're going to be headed back to the postseason again this year. We go to Pittsburgh. This is another surprising result. This is another one I just thought the Texans would win. But the Steelers come from behind. They beat Houston 28-21. They are now 3-0. Texans, very surprising, 0-3. But Bill O'Brien, you trade DeAndre Hopkins, and, you know, this is what happens.
Yeah, that's the results you're going to get, as Richard Sherman would say. But you actually thought Texans were going to win this game? Just outright before the game? I did.
I just thought, you know, Pittsburgh's 2-0. Texans are 0-2.
Wow.
I felt like this is
another
one of those
the NFL
game flow games. Right, exactly.
Well, this smelled like a blowout by Pittsburgh to me, but it really was close the whole way.
Yeah. So Steelers end up winning that one. Eagles get to go to Pittsburgh in a few weeks. That should be fun.
Oh, that's going to be a blast. We always play well in Pittsburgh.
Maybe we can get another tie. You know, if we can't win a game, maybe we can tie.
That would be a bonus.
Yeah. Next up, we go to Los Angeles. Almost said San Diego, but Los Angeles, where Matt Rhule gets his first NFL win as the Panthers beat the Chargers 21-16. Justin Herbert threw for over 300 yards, but he did get injured in this game. He took over for Tyrod Taylor, who got his lung punctured by the team doctor earlier, well, before last week's game.
That's, I mean, like...
Seems like a lawsuit's in the offing.
Yeah, well, I hate to, like, laugh at something like that, but it's just so utterly absurd that that happened, that the team doctor literally put this man's life in jeopardy.
I mean, I'm stunned that the Sixers or Eagles medical staffs haven't pulled this off.
That's true. I mean, it makes ours look like geniuses.
Yeah. So the Panthers win that one 21-16. They are now 1-2. Chargers also 1-2. In Denver, the Buccaneers beat the Broncos 28-10. Tom Brady looks pretty good down in Tampa. Three touchdowns in this game. Bucks take care of business. I mean, Jeff Driskel was starting for Denver, so you can't give Tampa too much credit. But hey, early results for the Bucks, not too bad.
Yeah, not too shabby. But there's no way I expected Denver to even be close to competitive in this game. They're really banged up too.
Yeah. So Bucks now 2-1. Broncos 0-3. This next one, we go to Arizona. This messed up my parlay on the day.
A lot of people's.
Yeah. The Lions beat the Cardinals 26-23. I didn't see this one coming. I thought the Lions defense was so bad. Matt Patricia is so incompetent that they wouldn't be able to beat the Cardinals in this one. But they are able to do enough. They somewhat limit Kyler Murray. DeAndre Hopkins still had a huge day.
Oh, he's a beast. It was actually a really fun game, I thought.
Yeah. But the Lions get the win 26-23. They are now 1-2. Cardinals now 2-1.
Don't you think the Lions, like, it seems like every year, well, obviously we know they're never any good, but they always seem to, like, win one or two games against, like impressive wins that you're like, wow, like, how about the Lions, huh?
Yeah.
And then they just, they're just terrible.
Well, that's Matt Stafford's whole career.
Yeah, no, you're right.
He has a couple good games, and people think he's great, but then whenever you expect anything out of him, he lets you down.
Yep.
He's Aaron Nola. That's exactly what he is. Right. He's Aaron Nola.
I like that.
We go to Seattle next. The Seahawks beat the Cowboys 38-31. Dak Prescott, 472 yards, three touchdowns. DK Metcalf, an all-time bonehead play in this one where he caught what would have been a touchdown, but did the thing where he's celebrating early, gets knocked out of his hands, and goes out for a touchback. But atones late, catching the game-winning touchdown. Russell Wilson, the early favorite for the MVP. He's got to win MVP one of these.
There's no question. I mean, well, he's at least got to get a vote this season. He has 14 touchdowns in 3 weeks, which is the most ever in 3 weeks.
Right.
Unbelievable, that guy.
It is. And they are now 3-0. Cowboys 1-2. And how about the Eagles? They gain ground. This is a positive day. The Eagles actually gain ground in the NFC East.
Yeah, the only team in the NFC East not to lose.
Right. So that's what we have to be proud of. But with this loss came the return of one of our favorite people on the show, the number one Cowboy hater in America, Stephen A. Smith. He always posts his Cowboy videos after the Cowboys lose, and he posted one Sunday night.
How about them Cowboys? See y'all tomorrow on first day. You hear?
I love the loud. Stephen A's really blaring that TV in the background.
Yeah, and the maniacal laughter too, man. He's feeling himself.
I believe he had the cowboy hat on in that video.
Oh, I'm sure he did. Yeah. Was he sipping a glass of wine too?
But I like when he adds in the little accent, the Texas twang.
Yeah.
He didn't do that there, but Cowboys lose. So hey, it's the NFC East. So the Eagles are still alive.
Awesome game, by the way.
Yeah, it was really a great game. Very entertaining. So Seahawks win that one. And then the night game, another entertaining one. Packers beat the Saints in New Orleans 37-30. And, you know, is it just me, or does it seem like Aaron Rodgers is just out to say, you know, bleep you to everybody for them drafting a quarterback in the first round? He's angry. He is taking it out on the entire league right now.
Yeah, I mean, Love's got to be sitting on the sidelines like, I'm probably not going to see the field anytime soon.
Right.
I mean, no. Rodgers is on a warpath.
No, Aaron Rodgers had another huge day.
Without Adams, too, today.
Right, without Adams. Aaron Jones, really good running.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So the Packers now 3-0, the Saints 1-2, and then what a game we got tonight on Monday Night Football. Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. I mean, this is an unbelievable Monday night game.
Yeah, and it's rare that Monday Night Football has these good games, but are you expecting like one of those Rams-Chiefs Monday night game from a few years ago, or was that 2 years ago?
That was 2 years ago, yeah.
Were you expecting like, I don't know, maybe the defense is the step up?
I think it's
going to
be high scoring. I'm thinking like a 34-31 type game.
So hammer the over.
Yeah, not as high score. That game a couple years ago was like 50-something.
That was the high scoring game ever, I think.
Yeah.
Where both teams scored more than 50 points.
I think it was 52-49 or something was the final.
No, I think they both scored over 50.
Oh, really? 54-51 was the final.
Unreal.
That's right. But that'll be a tremendous game. So excited for that one on Monday night. So we'll give you a recap of whatever happens in that game on the show tomorrow. But a really, really fun day of football outside the Eagles, you know, outside the tie. That was what happened in the NFL week 3. And we will look ahead to week 4 in the coming days. So when we get back, we'll put a bow on this show. It's been a fun one, I guess you can say. We've had a lot to talk about, not a lot of it positive. But we will recap some stuff when we get back. Still time to squeeze in a few calls. If you want to complain about the Eagles, you want to complain about the Phillies, and on top of all of it, Jimmy Butler is going to the NBA Finals. So not a good day for Philadelphia sports. So time to get in a couple calls when we get back. I'm Tom Kelly in for Big Daddy Graham, Sports Radio 94W.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.